Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Katie Galley, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. This will be a fun one.
Yep, it will be.
Now, Katie, I forgot to ask you earlier, are you going with us for our adventure to Antigua Pizza?
I like how it's a meeting, it's a business meeting, but the most important part is Antigua Pizza. Always. I don't know,
Are you still negotiating?
Right now, I have an interview at 12:30, so.
All right, so you're going to miss out.
I might miss Antigua Pizza.
You know I love Antigua Pizza.
I've heard a rumor.
All right. Enough about that. Let's get into the important stuff.
Okay.
On today's Atlanta Business Radio, we've got two impressive people. One, Matt Hopp. He is with Guardian Pharmacy of Atlanta. And then Mark Jackson with Cut Flower Wholesale. We're going to lead off with Matt. Matt, welcome to Atlanta Business Radio.
Oh, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, you're with Guardian Pharmacy of Atlanta. A few months ago, we had on some Guardian Pharmacy folks, but they were the corporate, I guess.
That's right, in our support office. Mm-hmm.
And then, so Guardians all over the country, and you are the grand poobah of Atlanta or Georgia? Like, where's your domain?
We're actually located in Marietta, but I service North Georgia, basically north of Macon, and we go way up to the Tennessee line and all the borders in between. So
now tell us about Guardian Pharmacy of Atlanta. How are you serving folks?
Sure. Well, so Guardian Pharmacy is in what we call long-term care pharmacy services. So we primarily service assisted living homes or skilled nursing homes. And one of the things that we do that's a little bit different is we specialize in specialty packaging for the communities. So, for instance, if you have friends or family members that are elderly and they're sorting their medications, a lot of people use those Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday containers.
Plastic.
That's right.
Right.
And that's similar to what we do, but we even break it down by hour. So Monday at 7 a.m., Monday at noon, Monday at 5 p.m., and that's really to assist the assisted living and skilled nursing communities. When you think about what a nurse there, if you have, say, 50 residents in a community, they're all on average 8 to 10 medications apiece. So now imagine having to open all of those bottles and pass all of those medications at once. So we provide a mechanism that's safer and pre-sorted by a pharmacist.
And then it makes it easier for them to remember, like, because they're the ones who have to kind of deliver the medicine to the...
That's right. So generally, we organize them into medication pastimes. So, you know, 7 a.m. might be one. And when you have, you know, 300 to 400 medications that you have to pass all at once, it makes it easier to have. We do a condensed medical record that has all of the directions on one either electronic form or piece of paper. That way you're not having to read all the individual label bottles.
Because it might say this one is with a food or this one isn't with food or...
Absolutely, yeah. Some things have to be taken before or after meals. Some things can be crushed, you know, and et cetera. So it makes it a little bit easier for the nurses caring for those individuals.
Now, before your involvement, how are they typically doing it?
Well, that's one of the things that we've really helped in the industry. One of the things that I saw prior to this, we'd go into a community and, you know, again, in that setting where, say, you have 50 people, there might be 5 or 6 different pharmacies in there, and they'll have different packaging methods and bottles or, you know, various other methods.
So that just looks like a...
Yeah.
Trouble.
Very disorganized. And then, you know, then of course, when the caregivers are trying to get more medications in reorder, I have to think, oh, which pharmacy is that again? And I may contact the wrong one.
Right.
And so it makes it a lot more difficult.
So now, what about your background? Were you a pharmacist?
I'm actually not, which is one of the things that's a little unusual sometimes in this industry. But I have a degree in healthcare administration and a specialty in gerontology in that. And then a couple years ago, I got my MBA here at Georgia Tech. And, you know, in my career, I've always been in healthcare in some focus.
Right.
And found that one of the things that was really trending in the industry is caring for our seniors. It was something that needed more infrastructure, and that's really something I had an interest in.
And then just the way that Guardian organizes himself, that attracted you to the firm?
That's right. I mean, I've worked in pharmacy before for other companies. One of the things I really liked about Guardian is their focus on people. Mm-hmm. So when they wanted to be here in Atlanta, it was more than just wanting to plant the flag in Atlanta. It had a lot to do with finding the right talent and team to lead the local market. Guardian has a lot of expertise in the industry and in pharmacy, but they do not claim to be the experts in the local market. So what works here in Atlanta might not work in Tampa or Phoenix. So they really count on us for that.
So now what, so how do you serve the Atlanta market specifically? Is it just building relationships with the assisted living and the senior care world here locally?
Yeah, that was, you know, so we were what we call a greenfield startup. So we started from scratch with no business in the beginning. So that's exactly what we did. A lot of it was going out, meeting people in the community and understanding really what they were lacking and what they wanted. And we really custom tailored our business around that. And that's one of the great things about the Guardian model is they allow that customization and you don't get the marching orders from a corporate office type thing.
So now when you go out to market here in Atlanta, do you is Guardian the primary pharmacist of most of the assisted livings here in Atlanta?
Yeah, and that we've really become that in assisted living here in the Atlanta and in North Georgia. As again, like I had mentioned before, we had you know, a market where there would be five or six different pharmacies in a community.
Right.
And it does kind of a disservice for the seniors and those trying to care for them.
So now, do you try to get more business? Like, how do you grow your practice here, your business?
We do. You know, it's great to be at the point in our company's life where we're getting referrals now.
Right.
You know, before it was just the old-fashioned knocking on doors, and we're still doing that. But now we've built a lot of great relationships in the city, and people actually do call us and say, hey, I'm looking at opening a new business, and I heard that you perform this service. And,
right,
you know,
so you're just
like
built
talk.
Into kind of their business.
That's right. Yeah.
Now, how does the industry look as a whole? Is there a lot of consolidation where there's a lot of larger players that come into a market and say, okay, we're going to open up five kind of senior care places here in town? And then, or is it kind of mom and pop and people just have independent?
Well, it's a little of both. I think Georgia is certainly a growing market. I think one of the things that I've seen that's different, you know, now versus, say, 5 or 10 years ago, we might have, say, like, say, 10 years ago, you might get one or two buildings that are new construction that, that you're working with, whereas now I'll get half a dozen or more. So
really?
It's
wow.
And probably when you're driving around, you see some of the construction.
Right. Well, I know right behind this building, there's a ginormous one.
Well, I may have to go stop by there on my way out. So, yeah, that's one of the big things we're seeing.
And then for you, so that's an evolution of the industry since you started?
Yeah, you're really seeing more, you know, they're building more infrastructure to care for our seniors. And with the aging baby boomers, that's certainly something that we need to look at.
So now what about the kind of the local pharmacist? What's your relationship with the individual pharmacist?
Well, we've got a number of pharmacists on staff. I think that's one of the things that's a little different when people think about pharmacy. They're thinking about a retail store.
Right.
And you see all those shelves and you go to the back and the pharmacist is up above the
right.
counter. We're a lot different than that. You know, I have 10 or so pharmacists on staff at a given time. Most of my pharmacists are specialized in geriatric care. And that's another difference in what we do. So I meet with them, you know, every day and every week, and we have different meetings on ways to improve our care.
So do they have to physically go to those assisted livings, or they can kind of remotely serve those clients?
Well, the medications that we provide, we have our own couriers on staff that mm-hmm. provide them there. But that's actually one of the other services that people don't realize we provide is we do send pharmacists and nurses on staff to the communities to actually help audit what happens when we drop the medications off. So are they being stored properly? Are they being administered properly? Recorded properly? And it's almost like a mock audit and mock survey. So once the families really realize that we're doing that and they see that extra level of care,
right.
They're on board.
Because at one of the facilities, it's typically who is the one that administers the medicine usually?
Depending on the licensure, it's usually called a certified medication aid. Mm-hmm. And so those are, and that's actually something we do as well as we teach classes.
You certify
yeah,
them.
We certify them so that they're able to, you know, work in the community.
Mm-hmm. And then so in order to be a certified aid, this is a person that's an aide there already at the facility, and they say, hey, can I get the certification? And then there's a process to go through, and they probably they have to learn some stuff, and they have to pass a test of some kind?
That's right. Yeah, we actually teach classes. Depending on the certification in general, it's about a 16-hour class. And then there are some online tests and exams and a what we call a skills check, where we actually come out on-site one-on-one with the individual, and we watch them pass medications with the supervision of a pharmacist and a nurse to make sure that it's being done right.
And then so, but when you're teaching them with the Guardian packaging in their...
That's right. Yep, yep. And that's another thing that makes it a lot easier for them. And we see that. That's one of the great things when they're like, wow, this is much easier and faster.
Right, than the way that they were doing it previously.
That's right. Yep.
And then so you're kind of soup to nuts there, right? You're a turnkey service then for these facilities?
Yeah, that's right. And that's one of the reasons they come to us. You don't have to get supplies from multiple different sources. And that's one of the things that we really focus on in Guardian is having one source for this. And again, for instance, if we service a community with 50 people in it, we'll have 45 to 46 or 47 of those people. There's always one or two that are under like the care of the VA or something, and they have to get it from another source. But that's something that we strive for because it makes it easier and safer for everybody.
Now, how many total facilities are there in the Metro Atlanta area? Is this like 1,000 or 100?
There's thousands of them of different sorts.
Because some can be like a house, right?
That's
right. Where there's a house where there's multiple beds, you're allowed to do that in that environment, right?
That's right. Yeah, of course, you do need the proper licenses and everything, and you need the staff. But that's another growing trend that I'm seeing where people will buy, say, like a 5 or 6 bed house, and they'll have 5 or 6 people living in there under like sort of a mini assisted living.
And then you have kind of these mega places where it could be 100 rooms.
That's right. Yep. So those are some of our larger communities have over 100 people in them, and some of them have a mix of like independent living, and then it goes to assisted
living. Like memory care.
That's right. Yep.
And then you serve all of those, right?
We do. Yep.
And then you specialize in this kind of senior world.
Yeah, we do focus. There are some other areas, really anywhere where a nurse or an aide would be handing you medications that, so it could be like a behavioral health setting. That's really our primary focus. We are starting to focus a little bit more on independent living as well, because one of the things that we've really seen is that our packaging helps independent people stay independent longer. One of the first times or first reasons they would have to move into a community of some sort is because they can't manage their medications.
Right. That's like one of the, having an older parent that's still around, that was one of our kind of things we were paying attention to. Is he taking the medicine?
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. No, this was a couple of years ago. I was walking into an assisted living home that had an independent living wing as well. And I ran into a woman in the parking lot, and I was talking to her on the way in the door. And I just said, "Were you visiting somebody?" And she says, "Yeah, I have to help my mom sort her pills. Otherwise, she's going to have to move to another community." And I said, "Well, I think I can help you with this." And sort of the light bulb went off. And so, independent living is something that we focused on as well.
So now, if you have an aging parent, can you get your packaging? So like as an individual, or this is only strictly through?
Well, we do focus a lot on communities, but there are several people that we work with that they'll either come and pick it up or we arrange something to bring it out there. But yeah, we're definitely interested in the independent living market if somebody's
interested. So independent living, that could be just one person.
It could be, yeah, yeah. That's right.
So now, and through Guardian, you have the latitude to explore those kind of opportunities.
That's one of the great things about it is they don't, again, send the marching orders from like a corporate office, and they really allow us to explore and build our business the way we see fit.
So now for you, how do you kind of stay connected to the market? Like what's your day-to-day life?
Well, as an owner and having started this business from scratch, I mean, I'm really involved day to day in the communities. So I'll spend 3 to 4 days a week out in the communities. And that's one of the things that I really enjoy. I'll go out when we start with a new community. I'll meet all of the residents. I'll talk with their families, try to figure out what it is that we can do to make their lives a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And one of our key focuses is actually through that consulting program where we send a pharmacist on site. we will actually reduce the amount of medications that they're on a lot of times because we try to look for things where there might be interactions.
Right. I know when my mother was going through some of this, it seemed like they were just adding medication. They would never take away medication.
Yep. And that's one of the challenges. You have multiple doctors that don't know what each one is prescribing. Right. And so we like to take that, condense it to one record so that somebody can review it, and then we can figure out the best course of action.
Right, because they were saying, oh, well, you were taking this, but this has this side effects, and now you have to take this medication to counter that side. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like Russian nesting dolls.
It is not, yeah, it's not unusual. No, and that's where our, that's one of the big differences, having one, you know, clinician and pharmacist look at one record.
So they can look more holistically of, wow, this is a lot of medication, maybe we can cut back here. And then, so would you actually speak with the doctor? Like, how does that relationship work?
We do. We have relationships with a lot of doctors throughout the city, and we are constantly building more relationships, particularly when we get into new communities. So we're not just looking at, you know, big cities like Atlanta. You know, we're all throughout North Georgia and, you know, all throughout 75 North, 85 North and up 400. And we make a lot of relationships with these, you know, community doctors.
So now can you share some rewarding stories that maybe that because of your service, you've been able to kind of improve?
Yeah, there's been several, but I going to a lot of these communities and talking to the family members when they'll say things like, well, you know, prior to you being here, you know, my dad was having trouble walking and he was dizzy a lot. And, you know, now after some of your reviews, you know, we've reduced the amount of medications he's on. He's not having the side effects, as you mentioned before, that you're seeing. And he's living healthier and happier.
Like a more quality of life.
That's right.
And then what about from the facility standpoint? Do you have any stories where you were able to kind of help them become more efficient and maybe, you know, free up some of these aides from having to do all this kind of minutia and administrative stuff? Maybe they can actually do more stuff with the patients.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of our main focuses is getting the staff to spend less time on the medications because they have one source. It's very easy. You know who to communicate with. But, you know, years ago when I would go into these communities and you would open, they generally have like a cart that they keep medications in, and you'd open it up and you'd see all these different labels and things sorted. You'd see bottles with the caps off, you know, spilling into it. Now everything is organized almost like a file cabinet as opposed to a messy sock drawer.
Right.
So you open it up, everything is organized, labeled alphabetical or numerically by room. A lot of times, one of our big focuses is technology. So getting away from paper records, installing laptops into the onto the medication carts so that they can follow the medication pass. You know, electronically with barcoding so that I can actually scan a medication. It tells you, yes, this is the right person, the right time of day, and it makes it a lot faster and easier.
Do you have any data that has the savings of time?
We do, and we work with different. It's different for different communities depending on their size. But we do that where we will go through a kind of a before and after. This is what it looked like. You know, this is on average what we're seeing. Then afterwards, we do it again, and we'll show them some of the savings. It does take a little bit of time to get used to it.
Right, and as any new change would.
Yeah, one of the challenges in that is that a lot of people say, "Well, I've been doing it this way for 20 years." And that's great and all, but, you know, care should improve a little bit. And so we...
There wasn't the internet 20 years ago.
Exactly. No, exactly. So bringing some of those things in makes it a lot easier for them. And it's been rewarding to teach that to people who have been, you know, again, doing this for 20, 30 years. They really don't operate computers. They don't, you know, use any of that technology. And now we've come in and they're showing me things when I get in there. Look what I figured out. Look what I discovered. And I didn't even have to teach them that.
Now, what is there a way to kind of test the waters on this, or do they have to kind of go all in when they switch to Guardian?
Well, testing the waters can be difficult because it's hard to get to know each other unless you really kind of go all in. So I've had people say that, like, well, I've got 50 people. What if I give you 10?
Right.
But that kind of recreates the problem where it's like, well, what if you send the orders to the other pharmacy and not me, and now that individual suffers because they didn't get their medication? So we really do. Now, it's one thing if you have multiple buildings, say it's a large organization.
So you can test it with a building.
That's right. Yeah.
It's probably manageable.
We don't like to split it amongst a building, but we are absolutely on board for testing it out in buildings. Yeah.
And then so when you do, like when they are hesitant to make a change, how do you kind of, what's your typical first step?
Well, one of our biggest things is testimonials, honestly, because it's been so successful and it's grown so quickly that I can give them a list of people. And oftentimes I'll just give them the names of the communities. You call whichever one you want. You
right.
know, and they'll
And they
they'll
have
be
the same
testimony.
Fear that you had.
Sure.
And then now it's working better for
sure.
them.
Sure, absolutely. Yep.
So now you're always looking to serve more. Facilities, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then you're always looking for more pharmacists, or you have enough pharmacists?
Always looking for the right people. I mean, that's definitely something that Guardian has instilled in me, is it's about finding the right people. So sometimes our interviewing and hiring process can be longer than we want.
Because you want the right fit.
Because we're looking for the right person, the right chemistry, the right person for the team.
And that might be a person in a smaller community in the outskirts?
Absolutely.
And
we
then,
have
then that way they can kind of be your boots on the ground in that area?
That's right. I mean, I'm really proud of the team we built. There are some people that really surprised me where we would interview them and I'm saying, wow, gosh, they've got an hour and a half commute. There's no way they're going to come in here. And sure enough, they do. And and they're not doing that because they can't find another job.
Right.
They're doing it because we're treating people very well and they really like the chemistry of the team.
So now, if somebody wanted to learn more, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, our website is guardianpharmacyatlanta.com.
And then they can go on there, they can learn more, whether they're a pharmacy or assisted living or any type of senior facility.
That's right. And my contact information is on there. As the owner, I like to put my information out there so they can contact me directly.
All right, Matt. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we got Mark Jackson with Cut Flower Wholesale. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Can you tell us a little bit about Cut Flower? How are you serving folks?
We are a full-service floral wholesale company here in the Atlanta area. We've been around for a little over 25 years now. Our main function is to import flowers from all over the world and supply those flowers for florists, event planners, anybody who will buy flowers who has a business license to purchase at a wholesale level can purchase.
So anybody who has a business license can purchase?
That is correct.
But you don't need a special flower license?
Don't have to have a special flower license. Don't have to be in the floral industry necessarily. As long as you have a legitimate business license, you're welcome to purchase at Cut Flower Wholesale.
And then are your clients primarily here in Atlanta or they're all over the place?
We have clients all over the Southeast. We actually ship all over the country as well. But our primary customer is within a three-state area, whether it's Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and the Carolinas.
And then what type of businesses are your primary?
Our primary customer is an event company. That's our largest client base. So anybody who does large events, weddings, parties, whatnot. We also deal with retail florists. And from that point, it could be an interior designer. We do a lot of magazine shoots. We do a lot of floral provisions for movies, sets now, with the movie industry being so big now.
So they use real flowers for
they
that?
They absolutely do.
Really?
Absolutely do. You'd be amazed.
They can handle the life?
Well, that's the one trick that we find. We have to pick and choose those flowers. Some shoots actually require some of the more delicate flowers. So the folks that do that have to refresh. So that's good
for
business
you.
For the wholesale company.
Better buy more.
That's right.
So now, how'd you get into this?
Well, I've had a lifelong passion for flowers myself. I worked in the corporate world for years and finally had the opportunity to move over into the floral world about 18 years ago on the retail side, believe it or not, and then moved into the wholesale side.
So the retail side having a flower shop?
I did have a flower shop for a while in Florida and subsequently moved over into the wholesale side, found it was a better fit for me.
So what makes a good retail flower person?
It's tough. You have to have both right and left brain, believe me. Decorative or folks that are creative don't always have that left brain side. So it's important on the
math of the business.
Exactly.
Part. They're good at designing beautiful bouquets and
that's correct. So it's important if you are on the retail side to surround yourself with folks that can handle that.
So now
it's a tough business.
Cause some of the challenges in retail, you got to sell flowers every day, right? This is perishable.
You also you have to sell a very perishable product every day, day in and day out. You have to buy it at the right price. You have to manufacture it. So you're a manufacturing facility as well in such a way that you can then sell it at a profit. And that is not easy in a retail location. It's just not easy to do. But it can be done, and it is done here in the city and all over the country.
So now how do you help the retailer become more successful? Like what your relationship, you're kind of serving them, right?
So we absolutely
their success
are.
Is your success.
Absolutely, right on point. You know, we provide what I call a very personalized service for every client that comes into Cut Flower Wholesale that we deal with. It's a personal relationship, and that's really how you get to the bottom of helping that client be successful. Whether it's, hey, Mark, I have clients that'll do this. They'll call me up and say, Mark, I've got this budget. I have this color palette. Pick me some stuff out. I mean, now that's a huge amount of
like
trust.
Like for a wedding or something?
I've had it done for weddings, photo shoots, you name
really?
It.
Wow.
And it's like, that's a
it's
huge
a
amount of trust. And yeah, well, it's a lot of pressure. You're absolutely correct. But we do it every single day at Cut Flower Wholesale. Then, you know, those folks that have specifics that they need, then what we do then is provide that product at the best possible price. And we have lots of different ways that we can do that. We have an amazing cooler that not every wholesale company has. Most wholesale companies in the country will provide a cooler with boxes on shelves. We are one of the few left in the country that hydrate every single piece of product that comes into the building.
And that makes it last longer.
Makes it last longer. It makes it also ready for the client to use
sooner.
In a pinch.
Right.
So, and don't ask me how this happens, but it happens. Mark, I have a last-minute wedding. I forgot to order the flowers.
I forgot to order the flowers.
Yeah, I mean, it happens all the time. So, okay, that's okay. Don't panic. Let's go in the cooler. Our cooler is set aside by color. So,
how big is your facility?
Gosh, we
it's
just
be pretty big.
It's pretty good size. We probably have about 35,000 square foot total.
Wow,
between
that's a lot of flowers.
Two sections. The cooler space itself is a lot less than that. It's about 10,000 square feet.
So you have a bunch of flowers at the ready.
We do.
For these emergency calls.
We do, which is a huge investment for Cut Flower Wholesale.
Yeah.
But it is one that we've found to be very successful.
So then they know in a pinch that you're the go-to people.
Exactly. And not just roses and hydrangea and carnations and things like that. We also are known for providing some of the more unusual items, whether it be from Holland, whether it be from South Africa or Italy or France or New Zealand.
So there's like Italian flowers that people are...
There are at times of the year, believe it or not. There's an amazing Italian ranunculus that is just to die for, that everybody dies. It's a small season, but they love them. French tulips direct from France. It's amazing.
So how do you educate your clients about all the possibilities?
Well, one of the things that we have done, and if you go to our website, www.cutflower.com, you will see an area called the Flower Gallery. Now, in that Flower Gallery, we have one of the most extensive records of photographs of different products available from all over the world. So over 4,000, I think, photographs now of different items that are available, whether it be colors of roses, varieties of roses, or...
Because the colors can change constantly, right?
New.
So you just have like a photographer on staff?
Well, we have one of our owners is a budding photographer. That's his hobby. So we have an area set up at Cut Flower Wholesale for just taking specific photographs of product.
Because you got to keep it refreshed and current at all times, right?
Absolutely. You know, we actually have growers that and breeders of flowers that send their new product to us to photograph and put on our flower gallery. They've seen the positive results of having that information out there as early as possible.
So now, take me through the process. So you're an event person, and then part of their services is flowers. So
sure.
Then they got to know all the florists in town.
Sure.
Do they typically go retail first and then they know about you, or they're going right to wholesale?
Most event companies will go directly to the wholesale company.
Okay.
There are many, many options for retail floral users and event planners to purchase flowers. So we're thrilled to have them come to us.
So now, so there's a lot of wholesale florists?
There are several here in town, actually. We have probably about five wholesale companies here in town.
Really?
Absolutely. But florists have many, many options. They can also buy direct out of Miami if they so choose. They can buy local flowers. I mean, we try and carry as many local flowers also as we can.
Do most flowers from, I guess, South America, they come through South Florida?
They do. Most all flowers that are imported into the country come in through three main ports, Miami being the largest, also New York, and Los Angeles. There are other, some smaller ports, but those are the three main ones, the bulk of it coming through Miami.
And then how do from there they go to you?
They do. We bring them through Miami. Some products we import directly ourselves. Some we use brokers for.
They come right to Atlanta?
They will come into Miami. No, they'll come to Miami, and then we truck them. The one thing that most folks don't realize is that flowers can stay out of water in a box for a lot longer than people understand. They go to sleep. As long as the temperature cold chain, what we call the cold chain, is maintained at an average of 38 to 42 degrees, that flower can last quite a while in a box out of water.
So then when they're cutting the flowers initially or when they're bringing it over, they have to keep it cold.
They do.
It's like the seafood, right? It's
exactly.
Like flash freezer.
Exactly. One of the fun things about my job, several years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Ecuador to visit
to track
flower
the
farms.
Whole process.
Exactly. One thing about our company also is we have a separate company called Arribaflor in Quito, Ecuador, and their sole purpose is to deal directly with the farms, seek out the best possible product that's available to us and develop those relationships directly with the farm, then we import that product directly.
So you're kind of a supply chain company.
We really are.
Company.
We really are.
That happens to sell flowers.
Exactly.
So you had to learn all this? Did you know any of this before?
I knew some of it, yes. But I have my learning curve when I came to work for Cut Flower Wholesale has been incredible. So I've been with them for about 8 years now. It's been an amazing
so
journey.
So now you've seen it from seed to the event.
Exactly. It's probably one of the most interesting parts of the job to see that from the very beginning where it's cut off the plant and all the way to the finished production. It's pretty amazing.
And then how long could that could take weeks, months?
Well, the good thing about
cutting to the event.
No, not necessarily. The crazy thing is it usually all happens within a week.
In a week. Cut the flower.
Absolutely.
And then it's at a wedding?
Yeah, pretty much. I'll give you for instance.
And it's traveling thousands of miles.
The wonders of airline travel. you know, we try and get our product as fresh as possible. That's one of the good things about dealing directly with the farms. So that product may be cut on a Tuesday, for example.
Are there cutting days?
Well, they cut every day of the week, pretty much. And they ship every day of the week, pretty much. It's according to when you need the product, whenever that is actually physically brought in for us for a particular event. So the product itself, let's say it's a rose, for example, it may be cut on Tuesday, let's say, and then it is packaged up for Cut Flower Wholesale at the farm. It's sent to the airport on Thursday. It flies in, gets through customs in Miami on a Friday, hits a truck, comes up to us over the weekend, and then we then take that product and get it to the client so that they have that product for their weekend event that following weekend. So within a week and a half, they've got product that's as fresh as possible. You can't get it any fresher.
Right. Really now, can't. How do you do the forecasting?
Based on history, we try and keep that our technology and history up to date as much as possible. You have to in this industry because it's such a perishable industry. So we know based on yearly trends and growing seasons, what's available and when it's available.
You're constantly tracking like weather situations? Because I mean, weather
absolutely
could just blow up everything, right?
It is the one thing that...
Like now we're in hurricane season, yeah. Right? This is like you're freaking out at this time of year?
Not so much. Unless there's an active hurricane in the Atlantic, then we're pretty good.
Paying attention to that, right?
Absolutely have to. We had several instances over the last few years where flowers were late. because the flights were canceled, and you know,
right, it's a hard one to explain, but that's just the reality of the business.
It's way
right?
beyond our control. You're absolutely correct, but it is the nature of the beast.
Do you have to have like a contingency where you're like stockpiling some of this to maybe push the envelope of how long the stuff can last in order to get out?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of element of that. There's sometimes it's just you're going to get your flowers a little bit later.
Right.
It truly is. Instead of picking up your flowers or getting your flowers delivered on a Monday or Tuesday or a Wednesday, you might have to wait till Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, turn on the weather channel.
And the challenging part for the end user is that they have schedules to meet. They have production folks.
There's only one wedding, right?
It's it. Either you cancel the wedding date and reschedule, right. or you
we have less flowers.
You have less flowers, or you have alternatives.
Right.
And one of the things that it allows us to be really great for our clients is that we do typically have alternatives.
So you can say, okay, we don't have this one, but let's do this. This
Absolutely.
Has a similar color palette
Absolutely.
Or something.
And some of that product we have what we call on standing order so that, you know, it's always going to be there whether we, and of course the goal is to sell it all, and we typically do, but we always have that product available so that we have backups.
So now how has technology impacted your industry?
Wow. Instagram. Pinterest, huge in our industry.
Right, because now these are good photo ops, right?
Oh, yeah. Visual. People in the creative industry and actually the end users have just...
They're helping
visual.
You out, right? That's a good business for
you,
right?
It's a great business for us. It really is. That's been huge for us. One of the things that we really have focused on here in the last few years and just recently is web shop. So like going out to eBay or going out to any online purchasing forum, we have that now as well, where the client who can do this from the from at home, actually, if they want to, because most florists are busy, they can go out and purchase flowers online on our web shop as long as they have an approved account. And that product will come to them the following week, just like as if they called me up and said, "Hey, Mark, I need this." And frequently, those are all box quantities.
But you're delivering in boxes.
We are delivering in boxes.
Because they're the ones that have to make it pretty, right?
That is correct.
You're giving them the raw materials.
That's right. I always tell people we are the paintbrush, the paint, the canvas, the stand, the Damar varnish that you use afterwards, and you're the artist,
right?
And so we do not, you know, we don't get
you stay
in
your lane.
That's right.
Your lane.
We stay in our lane. They stay in their lane, and it works out really well.
So now, are there trends in terms of different types of flowers? Or is it's now, you know, the world's flat, right? Like you said, you got Italian flowers, you got from all over the planet now, right?
Plenty of trends, and it varies from year to year, but just in the last couple of years, texture. The folks want texture. They
so
want
it's
different
beyond
things.
Color now. Now the texture is in play as well?
It absolutely correct. Foliage seems to be huge over the last year.
So it's expanding
beyond flowers into plants and
so that changes your business, right? Because now that's a different animal for you.
We have to. We've always had plants, which is good. That's part of our business as well. So it just adds to that business. So it's been very, very good for us. As far as foliage, we always carry foliage. We've always had a very wide selection, but it forces us to find new things too, which helps our business. So we have to constantly be looking for new items, and we do.
What about succulents? I see that on Amazon all the time.
Huge, 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 huge. Can't say enough about that. One of the things I do is I'm also a buyer for the company. So my area of buying expertise is in the Holland field, and that's where the succulents, believe it or not, come from. Most of them are cut. They come in boxes.
What about bonsai?
Bonsai, not so much. That's an area we'll leave to the experts on that one.
Are people using that as part of their displays?
I haven't seen that as much in the floral industry for events, but surely it's out there.
How do you kind of keep up? Like you just follow what's happening in Hollywood? Like where do the trends begin in this?
Well, they begin with the interior design groups usually. So we. we follow all of those, the trends in fashion. We follow the trends in interior design.
So fashion kind of influences color?
Sure. It absolutely does. It absolutely
does. So if their dresses are a certain thing, their flowers are going to kind of fall in line?
It's usually determined every year at the end of the year for the following year. And so the trends lately have been in the neutral tones, blushes with burgundy accents. We've seen that trend for the last four or five years.
So now you have to tell the growers of the flowers like more pink and
mauve. We try, but they also have a lot of acreage invested in other things, and it's expensive for them.
How hard is it to change a color palette for them?
It's not an easy thing to do when you have plants in production in the ground. It takes time. Absolutely.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, from start to finish for just a rose, for example, from the time it's bred to the time that it's in production to see if it's even going to produce enough to be successful can be up to 4 or 5 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So they can't be as nimble.
No, they really can't. So we've kind of gotten it to the point now where it looks like trends are longer than just a flash in the pan, so to speak, in a year. So,
what about, can you take something white and dye it any color?
You can. It's done, but it's not the best thing in the world. Let's say it has its place. I'll put it that way.
But so that's for emergencies only?
For emergencies only. Let's put it that way. That's a great way to put it.
And then
people want natural.
They want
colors.
Natural.
They do.
But also do. A photo is a photo, right? Like, can you tell a difference?
You
probably can.
Depends. It depends.
Now with all these filters, who knows?
Yeah, no kidding. You're absolutely correct.
just need one flower. You can make it look like you have 100 flowers.
My one example is if you've gone into the grocery store here recently and seen the dyed blue orchids.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are probably not the favorite of most florists or
and
most
not
event
weddings,
companies,
right.
But they have their place. You know, they do have a niche.
So now for you, what do you need more of? Do you need more event people? You need more retail stores?
We need more of everything always. And so we're constantly on the look for new clients. Last week I was in Chattanooga interviewing several new clients up there. So and we go out on a weekly basis, or I do as much as possible at least, to visit new clients. And we make a lot of phone calls.
So you want to meet who, though? The event planners? Who makes this buying decision?
Well, in most cases, with a flower shop, it's either the owner or if it's large enough, they have a specific person in charge of buying, and that would be the person I'd want to get to through the gatekeeper, whoever that might be. With an event company, they typically have someone specifically in charge with coordinating all the events and purchasing the flowers, and that's the person I'd want to get to.
So are more and more flower shops opening?
Well, the trend in flower shops actually has been stagnant or going down.
Declining, right?
Yeah,
just
declining
retail.
Over the years.
Are people like going to like grocery store? I mean, you get flowers anywhere now.
You pretty much can. It's a little different animal getting them in a grocery store, but grocery stores do offer flowers. There's a lot of DIY weddings and events going on these days, and so those folks can go to Costco and buy flowers.
Right, you
Costco's,
go there, and they come in a vase.
They absolutely do.
So they have somebody in the back that's doing that?
No, they don't. Mm-hmm. Well, no, most of those are typically done at another facility and then transported in, already arranged. And so that sometimes can be a challenge. There's a lot of online companies that
you can
purchase.
But you couldn't serve at Costco, right? No. Serve the person who serves Costco?
We would absolutely do that.
And that's a florist that deals with kind of those kind of retail establishments?
That's correct.
Then they wouldn't be retail to the end user. They would do more retail for like a grocery store or Costco?
Perfect.
So
absolutely.
They're specialists in that?
They are. They call them bouquet companies.
Bouquet companies.
And that's their primary goal is to supply those types of
products.
And
then they're just kind of going out to all those places. And say, hey, you should sell flowers. I'll do all the work. And you just put them out there.
Exactly. I will say this. Most retail florists have found a way to create a niche for themselves. Mm-hmm. It's like going to a lawyer. You go to a lawyer for a reason.
Right.
Because they have a specialty that you're looking for.
Right.
And so most florists have figured out over the years, and wholesale florists, ourselves included, that you have to make yourselves relevant within the industry. You have to figure out what it is that makes you different. Why should I come buy flowers from you? So Most of the successful florists that are around have figured that out, and they have a specific clientele that they deal with. And so one of the things I would encourage everybody to do that is a person that would use flowers is to develop that relationship with a local florist. Have the conversation with them.
Right.
You're going to have a lawyer if you need one. You're going to have a tax accountant if you have a business. You're going to have any number of professional individuals that you may have to deal with in your life, and a florist should be one of them.
Right. You need a go-to.
That's absolutely correct. And not just in your hometown. You know, these days of families that are dispersed across the country. I mean, I have a florist in Austin, Texas that I use whenever I need to send flowers to my daughter who lives there. I have a florist in Florida that I, for my other daughter. So, but I've developed those relationships over the years, and it's been a little easier being in the industry because I know some folks that in those areas that have been really helpful. But I would encourage everybody to go out and find a retail florist.
Right, because that's where you get the personal service that they kind of know what you like and your aesthetic, that you're going to get something that you're going to be proud of, not something you're like, oh.
That's so correct. And the nice thing about the new technology that most retail florists have nowadays is they know when your birthdays are coming up.
Right.
I mean, I get a phone call now.
Exactly.
My daughter's birthday is about a week out. Hey, what are we going to do this year?
Right.
So I totally encourage people to develop that relationship.
Good stuff. So if somebody wants to learn more, it's cutflower.com. That's a website.
Absolutely.
Best place to find you.
Just make sure you don't put any S's in it.
No S's.
Cutflower.com.
Cutflower.com.
Exactly.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thanks for having me.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Katie Galley. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.